John chapter 1 verse 1 said, or 14 verse 1 said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Amen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. That's what we want to preach about tonight, a place prepared for you. A place prepared for you. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. There are people who have great means that when they get ready to construct a home, they will seek out people of renown that have expertise and experience in building phenomenal structures. People whose names are known in certain realms because of their talents, their abilities to do something different and great. And certain men's names are associated with certain great structures. But I want you to know tonight that we have somebody that is building us a home. Hallelujah. I'd like to recommend him tonight. You may not live in a house that he built, but you live on his planet. And you live in his universe. You see the stars he made by night and the sun he made by day. You see the majesty of the mountains that he caused to rise from the face of the earth. You walk on the verdant carpet that he made of grass for your feet to walk upon. You breathe his sweet air every day that you live. And he just made all of this for a little while. But he said, I'm going to prepare. Everybody say, prepare. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Amen. I think it was Joel Hemphill that wrote the song that said it took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun, the moon, Jupiter, and Mars. Just took him a week, amen. But he's still working on my mansion tonight. He's been preparing that place for some 2,000 years of time. And I think it's just about ready. Hallelujah. I've got a feeling that it's just about ready. When I look around me and I see the signs of the times being fulfilled, I feel in the air and the atmosphere that it's not going to be long before Jesus is going to come back, and that city sent down from God out of heaven is going to appear. We're almost there, folks. We've been waiting a long, long time. But it's almost here. Hold on a little bit longer. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 10, begins a bit of a description of the city that we are going to be seeing very soon. John the Revelator wrote, and led me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city. Everybody say, that great city. The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. And he describes the city, said, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates were 12, at the gates were 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Of the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, three gates on the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. It's quite a city. He said the city itself is 1,500 miles cube. If you took off from Houston, Texas, make your way west to San Diego, California, that's about 1,500 miles. And then if you headed north to the Canadian border from San Diego, that's about 1,500 miles. And then if you come across and come back down to Texas, that would just be the base of it. And then if you go that high up into the heavens, amen, that's a pretty big city. Praise the Lord. The Bible said the walls are 216 feet thick. That's a big wall. Amen. And he said it has 12 gates, and each of those gates is constructed of a single pearl. That's a big pearl. I'd love to see the oyster that it came out of. Amen. For those that you that love oyster stew, you're going to like heaven. Amen. That's a big oyster, friend. Amen. You can make a gate that big. That's a big oyster. Amen. But what a city God is preparing for those that love him. Amen. It's going to have 12 foundations. If each of those foundations are equal, each of them would be 125 miles thick. That's a long foundation right there. I believe it's going to last. I think it's going to stand. Amen. I built a little house out here, and we put an 18-inch foundation in. Amen. That's pretty good for Texas. Amen. But my home's going to have 125 miles times 12, 1,500 miles of foundation. I think it's going to stand. I don't believe there's going to be anything that's ever going to shake the walls of that city. It's going to still be there when time is exhausted. Amen. And Benny begins to give us a description of the walls. Hey, he talks about one of the levels is going to be jasper. It is a reddish, yellow, or brown stone. And then he said one sphere will be sapphire, which is a stone of deep blue color. And one will be chalcedony, which will be white and reddish and gray. Another will be emerald, which is a rich green, and sardonyx, which is alternating red and white. Another will be sardius, which will be a variety of red. Another will be chrysolite, which is yellow. Another will be beryl, which is green or bluish green. Another will be topaz, a pale green. Amen. Another will be chrysophase, which will be a light green, a translucent. Another is jacinth, which is reddish orange. Another is amethyst, which is a deep purple. And so God's going to construct it. And he said the walls will be embedded with precious stones of every kind of description. And then he goes on to describe the streets of the city. He said the streets of the city are going to be made of pure gold, transparent. I don't think that we have ever seen pure gold. We have seen 99.9% pure gold, so they say. I don't know about that. I don't know that we have the same standard of purity that God has. Amen. They tell me that when you try to purify gold and the refiner will heat the gold, and impurities will rise to the top, and they scrape them off, and then they keep doing that. And the purer it is, the clearer his reflection becomes, until if he can see himself as perfectly as he understands, then gold is considered pure. I've got a feeling that the Lord is looking for his image in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He keeps working. You say, how much longer, Lord? Amen. Are you going to keep working on me? He's going to keep working till you're pure. He's going to keep working till he can see himself in you. And when he can see that, then he's going to be satisfied. Amen. I don't know how to begin to describe the city. I read some years ago a description. And so if you would allow me tonight, I'm just going to take what I read and share that with you. To me, it gave a little bit of an understanding, not greatly, but a little bit about the grandeur of the city. These, of course, are just statistics out of a man's mind. This is beyond, it's extra-biblical. The Bible does give us the dimensions of the city and the colors of the city and the streets of the city. It just doesn't tell us how many. It doesn't tell us how many streets. It doesn't tell us how many mansions. But let's just, for the sake of understanding tonight, let's break it down just a little bit. Let's suppose that the streets are a mile apart. That's a long ways, isn't it? But let's suppose that just for the sake of numbers, that the streets are 1 mile apart. And so you have streets going north and south and east and west. So in each level of the city, you would have 3,000 streets. That's not a lot of streets for a street. That's a long way. That's a long block, Brother Bacon. You can put some pretty good houses on those lots. A mile between each block. But let's just, for supposition, say it so. And then there are the 12 levels, and that would be 125 miles apart. That's a lot of room for roads. And you can build a pretty good-sized house 125 miles up. But just saying it so it doesn't get too complicated. That would be 36,000 streets. And that would be 4,500,000 miles worth of streets on every level. And then you multiply that by 12, you would have 6,750,000 miles of streets. If you want to jog and get with it. You talk about a jogger's heaven. You talk about a bike rider's heaven. Amen. You can just go as long as you want to. Just don't bring any bicycles to my house. Amen. No treadmills. Amen. I'm not going to need any of that up there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know how I'm going to be in heaven if I'm fat. It's going to be okay. Amen. The Bible said the fat is the Lord's. He loves some of us more than he does others. Because we got more of it. Amen. Well, you find your comfort where you can. This is an old reading. At the time this was written, gold was worth about $600 an ounce. Now it's worth $1,700 an ounce. So these figures will be, you can just multiply it by 3 if you can do that. It gets too big for me in a hurry. Hey, but if gold, just using their figure here, $600 per ounce, and so a square foot of pavement there would be about 600 ounces for a square foot times 600 per square ounce. And sort of come to about $4,320,000 per square foot. Now that's a pretty expensive building. We don't use that kind of pavement here. But God said, I'm going to use the good stuff. Amen. Let's say that a street's 20 feet wide. And if it's 20 feet wide and it would be multiplied by that particular number, we'd have about $86,400,000 just for a piece of it that is a foot long, 20 feet wide. And then it starts getting expensive. A street that's just 1 mile would be $456,192,000,000. How many would like to buy a street? Amen. A street then that's 1,500 miles long would cost $684,288,000,000,000. And that's one street. And then you multiply that times 36,000. I'll let you do that. My calculator won't go that far. Amen. That's pretty expensive pavement. And these, by the way, then you got to do that by times three if you really want to understand what it's worth today. This was whenever the story was written some years ago. Amen. And before our economy got bad. Amen. That's a pretty expensive street, isn't it? Amazing. And that God prepared all of this. And now when you and I get ready to pave a street, we're going to use asphalt with rock. Cheapest stuff we can get away with. Amen. But God said, ain't God just make it out of gold? Amen. And boy, that's going to be quite a place. That's going to be quite a place. Amen. And so gold is the thing that God said. He said, well, that's the cheapest thing I got up here. Amen. That may be the cheapest material he could find in heaven to make a street out of. Just something to walk on. Amen. He said, don't have to be too fancy. I'll just make it out of gold. Amen. I'm talking about the place that he said, I'm gonna prepare for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know exactly how to interpret that. The NIV says it's rooms. The Spanish language says it's habitaciones, which would be rooms. And that's my preference. I don't know if everybody has their preference. I personally could care less about a mansion here or there. Amen. But I've met folks, and I used to say that, and I preach in places, and people get a little upset. They'd say, oh, I'm so looking forward to my mansion. Well, I hope you have it. Amen. You know, our forefathers used to sing, Lord, build me just a cabin in the corner of glory land. I admire the humility of that statement. Amen, but I don't want a cabin. I live in a barn now. I'd like to have a little upgrade. When we were going to foreign missions, they said, do you expect to live in a better house in Colombia than you do here? I said, I sure hope so. They looked at me kind of funny, and my friend that lived a little close to me is on the missions board. He said, you hadn't seen his house. Hey, I said, I'd at least like to have two bathrooms. We got five in the house we lived in. We were blessed. We were blessed. Amen. God gave us a place. We had... In Colombia, we had the second cheapest rent of any missionary in South America. And we were really blessed. God gave us this really nice, large, two-story apartment. And for rent, about $300 a month. That's pretty good. That's cheaper than the house I lived in that was less than 1,000 square feet when I left. And so God blessed us, but God's going to prepare a place for you. Now, whether it's going to be rooms or mansions, amen. I prefer, personally, I want to live in the same house that Jesus lives in. Whenever it's dinner time, I don't want some servant to call me to dinner and big old table. I want to go to Jesus' table. I want to sit down with the Lord himself and the apostles and the patriarchs. Amen. And I want to talk to Moses and elbow to elbow while we're eating at the table of life. Amen. I want to talk to Paul a little bit and John and James and some of the great saints of God and some of my pastors that have already gone on and my mom and my dad and some of my family. I want to sit and talk to them. I don't want to be stuck off in a mansion somewhere. And that's my interpretation. Now you have your own. If you like mansions and love mansions, may God grant you a mansion. I hope you get two of them. I'm not jealous. Amen. But I want a room where Jesus is. Amen. Of course, Dottie Rambo upgraded it from the cabin. She said, build my mansion next door to Jesus. She's getting ambitious here now. Amen. And then she said, my mama's mansion may be close by me. Amen. So at least she wasn't too, specific. She wanted mama to get a good house too. Place with a view. Amen. I guess really and truly, if I make it, that's really all that matters. But I do want to make it. A place prepared for you. Amen. So the city's 1,500 square miles. Each of the levels, 125 miles high, would contain just on a level surface 2,250,000 square miles. That's a pretty good sized place. That's 15,000 times larger than London, England. Then you'd have 12 levels of that, so you'd have 27 million square miles. If each mansion was 1 mile square, that ought to be big enough for anybody. The city would contain 3,375,000,000 mansions or rooms. If you spent an hour in each room, and then you changed every hour, 24 hours a day, this is a week for 6,000 years, that's how long we've been on the earth, you would have only visited 52,560 of the mansions. And that's only 1.5%. You'd still have 3,322,529,560 rooms yet to visit. So we're going to get to do a lot of visiting if we do it fast. But you're not going to have to be in a hurry. Amen. Because we're going to have eternity to talk to everybody. I'm just trying to give you some kind of an idea about what the Lord has prepared for them that love Him and are looking for His appearing. I know these are just silly statistics made up by some person. I know that. But it just gives me some idea about what heaven might be like. Amen. And that's just what we can come up with. Just a little thought. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not the best thing about heaven. Well, the Bible said there's not going to be any sickness there. And there's not going to be any pain there. And there's not going to be any hospitals there. And there's not going to be any practicing physicians there. And there's not going to be any medical bills there. And there's not going to be any insurance companies there. And there's not going to be any bill collectors there. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's not going to be any more wounds there. There's not going to be any more hurts there. There's not going to be any wounded spirits or broken hearts there. Amen. There's not going to be, the Bible said, there's not going to be any tears there. There's not going to be any sorrow there. There's not going to be any death over there. There's not going to be any parting over there. Things that cause us pain here, it's not going to be, there's not going to be any sin over there. There's not going to be any temptation over there. There's not going to be any trouble over there. There's not going to be any trials over there. There's not going to be any tribulation over there. But that's not the best thing. That's not the best thing. There are going to be reunions over there. For a lot of us, that's going to be an exciting thing. I've got some folks waiting for me over there. We were talking a little bit back at the back of the church after service today, and I was telling a few of the experiences of just my family, little things that they said. Recently, one of my cousins passed away, and I don't know who he was talking to, but he was just saying, laying there, and he was getting ready to cross over, and his eyes got, he hadn't been awake in days, but his eyes flew open, and his face just was filled with awe. And he said, "Can you see it?" He said, "It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Wow, it's beautiful. Can you see them?" My little cousin had laid in the bed for a week or so, unconscious, not communicating. All of a sudden, her eyes flew open, and with a very strong voice, she said, "Sir? Yes, sir. Aye, sir. Coming, sir." And she was gone. Amen. That's the way we want to go, folks. My little mama said, "Hey," she said, "I'm going home today." And in 5 minutes, she was gone. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying, there's a reunion over there. Praise God. Now we got some folks that are waiting on the other side. Amen. I can't wait to get there to see some of them. I've always wanted to talk to some of the patriarchs. I'd like to talk to Joshua and Jacob and Joseph. And I'd like to talk to Abraham and Moses and David. And I'd like to feel Samson's muscles. Amen. Amen. I can't wait to get them. I'd like to see wise old Solomon. Amen. There's some great things waiting on the other side. But I'm going to see some of my loved ones, my mom and my dad and my aunts and my uncles and my cousins and friends and missionaries that have gone on to be with the Lord, and I'm going to get to see them over there. Amen. Heaven is going to be an exciting place. But that's not the best thing. That's not the best thing. Amen. The greatest thing in heaven will be Jesus. The songwriter said Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. If the walls were not jasper and the streets were not gold, Jesus will be what makes it heaven. Amen. The Bible said He's the light of the city. And if it weren't for Him, it would just be a dark place. You couldn't see its beauty. You wouldn't see its glory. But because Jesus is there, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, when he came here with a mission, folks. The Bible said, "Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." And when He died on Calvary's cross, speaking of that mission, He said, "It is finished. I did what I came here to do. There's enough blood from Jesus Christ tonight to cleanse every sin of every man from Adam to the last breathing creature." God committed and completed His mission to the planet Earth. But He said, "I got another mission." And He told His disciples at that Last Supper, He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He's just about finished that mission. Hallelujah. And pretty soon, He's going to be coming back. And He's going to take His bride to inhabit that place that He has prepared for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for water baptism to wash away our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John, two times in the book of Revelation, saw the church. and the tribulation saints. And both he saw them. You know what? They weren't in their mansions. The Bible says they were at the throne. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. There are seven crowns. Brother used to teach us, he said, there are seven crowns mentioned in the Bible that a saint of God may win. Amen. But you know what we're going to do with them? The Bible said when we get there, and he gives us that beautiful picture Romans in Revelation 5, he said we're going to take those crowns off of our head and we're going to cast them at his feet. And we're going to start singing that song, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Amen. And that's what we're going to sing. And John saw the church. He said, they're not in their mansions. They're not running up and down the streets of gold. They're not talking on gold phones. Amen. He said, but they're at the throne. Amen. I don't know if I'll ever leave the throne. That may be enough just to see them there. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Always at the throne of Jesus Christ. What a place he's prepared. Amen. The Bible said he went to prepare it. And he said that where I am, there you may be also. Praise the Lord. One of the greatest things in life, well, honestly, other than Jesus and his church, the greatest thing in life is a good family. I said the greatest thing in life is a good family. And if you have a good family, you know what I'm talking about. I've heard people say, I can't wait till my kids leave. Well, I don't feel that way, never have. Sorry. We just like being together. It may make us weird, but that's how we like it. I like my family. Amen. I enjoy my family. I like to be with them. I look forward to family reunions. I like to be with my family. Amen. I've got a good family. I've been mighty, mighty blessed. Amen. I've heard people talk about their weird uncles. I don't remember any weird uncles in my family. Maybe that makes us weird, but I don't remember any. Some weird cousins, maybe. But my uncles were fine. My aunts were precious. Amen. Growing up, you know, we had a great family, and I had a lot of mamas. No wonder I was such a good kid. Because in my family, it didn't matter. Who got a hold of you? If you did wrong, they'd get you. Every one of them. Amen. And if your mom heard about it, she'd get you too. Amen. You didn't get away with nothing in my family reunions. Amen. If you showed disrespect, they'd thump you. Yes, they would. And you didn't dare. And I'm glad for that. That's why we had a good family. Amen. We had a good time. Praise the Lord. What a blessed time. Amen. So on earth, it's good to have a good family. Amen. And I'm glad that my family and I got along. And I'm glad that, you know, the church is what? It's a family, isn't it? The Bible said this is the family of God. Amen. And, you know, if you can't get along with this bunch, you're in trouble. Hey, man, if you can't get along with me, you're in real trouble. If I can't get along with you, I'm in real trouble. We got to get along with one another. You know, if we can't even go to church with one another, how are we going to get in heaven with one another? That wouldn't be heaven, would it? I wouldn't want to go to a place I dreaded seeing people there. I wouldn't want to go to a place I couldn't even spend any time with the folks. Right? Hey, man, this is good, Brother Grissom. You're doing good tonight. You're really just laying on out there. Hey, man. That's right. Praise God. So if we want to go there, we got to get along here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I believe we do. I believe we got a really good church. We're not perfect. We have our ups and downs and our difficulties, and I know that. I understand that. I've been around the block a time or two. Amen. But you know, we got it a whole lot better than a lot of folks got it. Amen. I'm just glad to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm just happy to be a part of His body here tonight. I'm so glad that the Lord loves me. So He said that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord wants to be with you. And this is another thing, but I sometimes think about people that don't like to go to church and don't like to worship. They don't enjoy worship, and they don't enjoy going to church. They can't wait to get out. You're going to be bored to death in heaven. Why do you want to go? I said, why do you want to go? There's not going to be any football. I'm sorry, but there's not going to be any football in heaven. The Dallas Cowboys are not going to be there. I'm sorry, Brother Bacon, but I don't think the Yankees are going to make it. Amen. People that can't come to church because of the Yankees and the Cowboys and you don't have any time for Jesus, why in the world would you want to go to heaven anyway? If you don't enjoy worship and you don't enjoy praise and you don't enjoy fellowship with the Spirit of God, you'd be miserable in heaven. Of course, it's a whole lot better than the alternative. I'll give you that. Amen. Some people just want to go to heaven like it's fire insurance. Amen. But there's a better reason. I don't know about you, but I enjoy my time with the Lord. I enjoy fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Fanny Crosby had it right when she talked about fellowship divine. Amen. It's wonderful to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And our capacity will be greatly increased when we get to heaven. Amen. He said, I'm building a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. And then he said, if I go, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself. Amen. You talk about forget his name. It'll come to him in a little bit. I'm under pressure. I can't think. Amen. But a good brother wrote a song, and he called it the plane air ride. Not an airplane ride, but a plane air ride. It's different. Amen. We're going to be going in plane air. Hallelujah. We're not going to need any airplanes. We're going to go up in the plain air. Amen. When that trumpet sounds, going to get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're getting ready, folks, to get out of here. Amen. But the best thing is because Jesus will be there. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time and for your attention. Amen. How good it is to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we do that song? Said, heaven for me. Heaven for me. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because that's how I feel tonight. He's going to be the light of the city. The Bible said there's not going to be a temple there. Because the whole purpose for the temple was a place to worship God. Amen. But He's going to be in the midst. He's going to be the temple. Praise the Lord. He's going to be the solitary purpose of all worship. He's going to be the focus of all of our praise. Amen. Just to be in the presence of the Lord. We have a little phrase in Pentecostalism. We talk about getting lost in the Holy Ghost. Anybody know that phrase, lost in the Holy Ghost? Anybody knows what that means? Have you ever been lost in the Holy Ghost? Amen. That means when you get so caught up in worship and praise, and you've shut everything else out, and you're so close to the very throne of God, nothing else matters. Time doesn't matter. There's no tyranny reaching for your time. You don't care. I just want to be in the presence of the Lord. That's what heaven's going to be about. There's not going to be any restrictions. Not going to be any competitions vying for your time. But it's just going to be in the presence of God, able always to praise, to worship. Oh yeah, we're going to have some activities there as well. I know all that. But what's going to make it heaven is Jesus is going to be there.